House Education will come to order. Will the secretary please take the roll?
Chair Burgley.
Here.
Vice Chair Anderson.
Here.
Vice Chair Funk.
Here.
Representative McCamey.
Here.
Representative Thane.
Here.
Representative Novak.
Here.
Representative Rexton.
Here.
Representative Bertolio.
Here.
Representative Running Wolf.
Excused.
Representative Hawk.
Here.
Representative Bishop.
Here.
Representative Vinton.
Here.
Representative Mitchell.
Here.
Representative Kearns.
Here.
Representative Lear.
Here.
Representative Seekins Crow.
Here.
Representative Beard.
Here.
Quorum present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Just a couple notes before we get started. Please remember that silence your cell phones if you're here on the committee or testifying. If not, we always accept donuts or jerky in payment for such transgressions.
No. Ice cream bars.
May need a vote.
I'm going to need to recognize people before they speak.
Mr. Chair.
Any testimony you have for bills can be submitted to public record at all times, especially with the COVID. I believe we have a nice form you can fill out. So anybody that's listening online, that's always available to you. We have the following bills in order up on the board. So we'll start with House Bill 68. So I'll give Representative Bertolio a second to get started. And I will open the hearing on House Bill 68, Representative Bertolio.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Marta Bertolio, spelled M-A-R-T-A-B-E-R-T-O-G-L-I-O, and I represent House District 75, which is a large portion of Jefferson County from Montana City down to Whitehall. Mr. Chair, before I begin, may I please hand out information on the Military Interstate Children's Compact Commission and their initiatives in our great state?
Please do.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 68 pertains to MCA Section 20-5101, specifically laws relating to school admission, in particular, the K-12 school board trustees' obligation to admit children into their school district. This bill would require trustees to allow children of military families that are relocating to Montana under military orders the ability to enroll in classes and programs prior to physically establishing residency. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to begin with some background on the Compact Commission and thank the Montana Commission members who are helping the military children in our state, especially the Commissioner, Brigadier General, retired Hal Stearns. I will now provide background on the commission. The Department of Defense, in collaboration with the National Center for Interstate Compacts and the Council of State Governments, has developed an interstate compact that addresses the educational transition issues of children of military families. Currently, all 50 states and the District of Columbia participate in the interstate compact, providing a uniform policy platform for resolving the challenges experienced by military children. It is estimated that an average military family moves three times more often than the average non-military family. These frequent moves can cause children to miss out on extracurricular activities and to face challenges in meeting graduation requirements. The compact will ensure that the children of military families are afforded the same opportunities for educational success as other children and are not penalized or delayed in achieving their educational goals by inflexible administrative or bureaucratic practices. Montana has 4,135 children, ages 5 to 18, who are children of active duty and National Guard Reserve members. Now to the bill. In Section 1, page 2, subsection 5, it is amended to add the language to allow a parent or guardian with documentation of pending military orders to enroll their child in a school district prior to arrival and establishing residency. Currently, military families transferring on official military permanent change of station or PCS orders are not eligible to register in courses or enroll in specialized academic programs until they are physically located within district boundaries. When children of military families move as a result of their parents' service, they are often disadvantaged due to missed deadlines for course and program enrollment and or registration, which usually occur in the spring, and the majority of military families move in the summer. When military students know in advance which school, classes, and programs they enrolled, they and their family are provided a sense of comfort, and it lessens the stress already associated with relocating to a new area. Please note, this is not to offer an advantage over other students, but rather to ease the challenges faced by our military students. This will also help school administration make projections regarding student population. In Section 2, this act will be effective upon passage and approval. Mr. Chair, thank you. I will now open it up for proponents, opponents, and informational witnesses. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. With that, we will go to proponents for House Bill 68.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Elsie Arnson, Montana State Superintendent. I also hold the commission at the Office of Public Instruction, so I'm Superintendent Elsie Arnson. I want to thank the good representative. She's the perfect carrier for this with all her expertise and her previous history, not only in the Air Force, but also being on a school board chair. So she fits both worlds perfectly. The materials that were passed out are some of the initiatives that we have put together to support our military children and, more importantly, support the families as they move in and out of our state. They're in 2013, when I was sitting amongst you, the compact first came into Montana. Representative Senator out of Great Falls was the one who carried the bill, and then we went ahead, and it was a sunset bill, and the sunset was reactivated in 15. So for the last 5 years, then, I have held the commission at the Office of Public Instruction. I want to give a great shout-out, as the representative did, to retired Brigadier General Stearns for his leadership within this. One of the most interesting initiatives that we have pressed so far, and only 7 states have done this, is that we are awarding schools, not just school districts, but of the 821 schools that we have in Montana, a Purple Star Award. It's available for 3 years. We most recently, at the end of November, have awarded only 5 schools. So we have a lot of homework to do to get our 821 schools at this point schooled up in supporting our military children and families. So there is more information on the military compact, and there will also be some other legislation that will support our military children coming forward. Again, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank the representative for her service to our great country, as well as to the service to our great state. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Chair, I do have 2 people with their hands raised. And Zoom.
So let's go with Ms. Walker first.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair Burgley and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jewel Walker, JuleWalker. I am the Field Service Specialist for the Montana School Boards Association. We would like to thank Representative Bertolio for carrying this legislation on behalf of military children. The Montana School Boards Association supports House Bill 68, which will allow for the enrollment of students for military families who are relocating to Montana prior to establishing residency. We respectfully request your support of House Bill 68. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walker. Next, we have somebody from the School of Administrators of Montana. I don't know if that's Mr. Miller or not, but...
Good afternoon, members of the committee. This is, in fact, Kirk Miller, representing School Administrators of Montana. Thank you, Chairman Burgley and members of the committee. I'd like to begin by thanking Representative Bertolio for carrying this bill on behalf of the work of the Interim Education Committee. Actually was deeply involved in this issue. SAM supports the work of the 21 Interim Education Committee to provide early school enrollment for children of relocated family, military families. House Bill 68 revises language and law, clarifying the admission of a child whose parent or guardian is being relocated to Montana under military orders, allowing that child to preliminarily enroll in classes and apply for programs offered by the district prior to the arrival and establishment of residency, a real issue for military families because of the movement that's there. This clarifying language is beneficial to our children and also of our military families, and also to our school districts by defining with clarity the conditions for preliminary enrollment for the child. The military education or the educational opportunity for military children report. I sent my testimony via the web portal, and there's a link in there to that report that was presented to the Interim Education Committee by the Military Children Compact Commission members that included retired General Hal Stearns and Tammy Lacey at that time back in September 15th of 2020. And that led to unanimous approval of the committee. So there's more background and foundation on that if you're interested in seeing the details of what came in front of the interim committee. I have included that link in the report for this testimony so that you can review and help with your decision that's there. SAM's advocacy positions and resolutions support revisions to language that clarify the interpretation of implementing laws. This bill, as reviewed and recommended by the interim committee, clarifies that language and helps school districts to preliminarily enroll children of relocated military families. SAM requests your support of House Bill 68.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? Not seeing any other hands raised. With that, we will go to opponents. Seeing none, informational witnesses.
I do have Shane, Mr. Chair, who has his hand raised.
Mr. Etzweiler, I believe.
And I apologize. I just got off the phone call with someone from Northrop Grumman. We're working on the GBSD program as well, so I apologize for being late, Mr. Chair, and committee members as well. Again, I'm Shane Etzweiler. I'm the president and CEO of the Great Falls Area Chamber of Commerce, and we are a proponent of this bill. We are in favor of it. We just recently had a testimony from our superintendent of schools, Tom Moore, here in Great Falls. And there was a recent military report that I heard you just referring to, and I was just able to log on to the call here. And in reference to this military report, the military and the Air Force is looking at family and the environment that surrounds the rest of the family. And they kind of score communities now based on structure, opportunities, activities they can participate in. One of the big factors currently is the school and the education programs that the community offers. And one of the low marks that we did get on the report was pre-K opportunities. And again, when you receive a low mark, and against we are measured against the other 160 plus bases and installations across the country, and then obviously they're kind of the best of the best anyway, but then they rescore it. And so when they rescore, I'll use the example of your A and B students, and then they put them on a scoring curve, you are going to have some that are going to score towards the lower end of the scale. But unfortunately, because of the lack of pre-K opportunities within Montana, specifically Great Falls, we definitely scored in the red. And so definitely the lower percentile of that. So again, on behalf of the Great Falls Area Chamber of Commerce and the Montana Defense Alliance, we are in favor. We are a proponent for this bill. And once again, Mr. Chair, I apologize for being late.
No worries. Any further testimony on the bill? I think we were on informational. Seeing none, I'll go to questions from the committee. Representative Bishop.
No, that's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess this would be a question for our we don't have informational, for the sponsor.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bishop.
Great. Thank you, Representative Bertolio. Mr. Chair, I like this bill. I just have a kind of technical question around whether or not the family needs to have a local address. And the reason I ask is I'm wondering what happens if, let's say, we're determining which elementary district a family might reside in, and if that changes between the time that they enroll and the time that they actually physically are in the district, how that might be handled.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bishop, I think that depends on what the school board in each particular school board, what the trustees have, whether it's an out-of-district agreement or they have a closed enrollment. So I think it would be per district.
Oh, that's fine. Thanks.
Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for the sponsor, please.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question as to you use the language of military orders. Just to be clarification, that would include MPA orders, long-term TDY orders, or TCS orders as well. Would that be all included within that overall blanket military orders?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kearns, I'd actually need clarification on that. I have it as PCS orders.
Follow-up question. PCS is just, I'm sure you know, one set of orders that ends up moving a family. Sometimes for long-term manpower assist tours, TDY, which stands for temporary duty yonder, you have some longer-term ones, especially with the Marine Corps, and also temporary change station, where they're coming back to an original thing. But these could be long orders that ultimately move a family and would be accompanied. And I just want to see if those were included within this military orders statement. I don't know if there's necessarily, I don't see specifically PCS on here. I think that it could, in fact, by this language, include that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kearns, I have not seen all of the different types of moves and terms regarding, especially the long term, but I'd certainly hope that we can make that happen for those particular cases.
Thank you. Further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I guess just to follow up on that question, I don't know if this is for the sponsor or potentially Superintendent Arnson, but the way that it's written, it says being relocated to Montana under military orders. I think the relocation would imply that it's a permanent or semi-permanent, longer-term type location, not just a TDY type situation. Be a permanent relocation or a semi-permanent relocation. I don't know if there's any clarification. Representative Arnson, could you shed some light on this for us?
Have I been promoted? I might be.
I mean, sorry, Superintendent.
Well, of course the House always rules over the Senate. Yes, for sure. Thank you very much. Chair Burgley and members of the committee, this was an interim bill, and it's a DOD bill. So it's a Department of Defense bill, and I'm sure we can reach out and gather clarifications for that. Military orders is very general. The bill that I alluded to with the compact is to make sure that Reserve and National Guard are also included in the compact, but it has to be a side-by-side bill. We don't want to destroy the language of the compact. So there can be more discussion on to clarify that, and members that served on the interim committee, I don't recall if indeed this question came up. On what type of orders, but there would be something in the record that might be able to explain that a little bit clearer. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Funk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Could you pull the mic up a bit?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The interim and Majority Leader Vinton can correct me if I'm wrong, but this bill, this request came very, very late, almost our last day. And this was the bill that was brought. We think it's very important. We wanted to support military families this is just a great way to support the military families that are relocating. There's enough trauma that's going along with having to move. My understanding was that this was just to make sure that every child of a military family, whatever status, would be able to, if applicable, you know. I think it was one of the main things was, to be honest, was to make sure they could get in some of the clubs and sports that you had to sign up for early. And so that's why they wanted them to be able to have that status of being enrolled in a school before they actually got here. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McCamey.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for another committee member, please.
Proceed.
Thank you. Representative Kearns, tell us what the initials that you, the acronyms that you gave us mean.
Sure. So MPA stands for Manpower Assist. TDY stands for Temporary Duty Yonder. And TCS stands for Temporary Change of Station.
What follow up, please?
Follow up.
Tell us more about the first designation, Manpower Assist.
Sure.
In other words, would they be taking family?
Mr. Chair, all of these could be, in fact, a accompanied tour, and could, in fact, have. Which means they could be accompanied with the family for all of these situations, especially when we're talking. Mr. Etzweiler mentioned GBSD, which is ground-based strategic deterrence, and that's getting ready to come to Great Falls at some point in the near future. And so we want to make sure that, for example, those families that are here for the spin-up of GBSD may be taken care of along in this, who may not be PCSing.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rexton.
Mr. Chairman.
Could you pull the mic up closer?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I actually want to tee off on Representative Bishop's comment, because if you have several schools in a district, you don't want to start a child at a school and then they live on the opposite end of town, and then you have to pull them out of that school and put them in a different school. So I was wondering, is there defined housing for military families, is my question, or is it just at random where they might live in town? And I think that has to be taken into consideration. So my question is have you thought about that? I guess Representative Bertolio, maybe you could address that, or Arnston, OPI, from OPI, maybe have you thought about that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rexton, I would think it would depend on what's available on base And I know that from moving several times, you look for the good school districts or the ones that will fit your child's needs. And I've moved accordingly as a personal choice. It could be closer to the base. It could be one that offers X, Y, and Z programs. I think it's a personal choice. And I do reiterate your concern about moving, having to move the child once the child is already in a school district and then pulling them out. But I do feel like the parents really do try to do their homework ahead of time to get their child into the best school that they can.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Superintendent Arnson, please.
Superintendent.
Chair Berkeley, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Superintendent Arnson, we had a situation come up in the North Helena Valley this past summer, late summer, where a military family had relocated to the area, found a home in a school district of their choice. They wanted to live in a home within a mile and a half of the school because they had special needs children. And they bought their house, moved to Helena, went to enroll their children, and they were told by the school district that the school was full. So on line 5, section 1, page 2, or line 2, section 5 said, the trustees shall assign and admit a child to preliminarily enroll in classes and apply for programs offered by the district prior to arrival. Now, what would happen if the district assigned the child to a school and then the family arrived and that school was no longer an option? I mean, is there any guarantee that the school district will, in fact, stick to assigning the specific school?
Thank you, Chair Berkeley, and thank you, Representative Beard, for this. And I appreciate your constituency service that you've offered. And I know of this entity when it's come, and it's replicated across our state. We are a local control state, and because we have the decision at the school board on enrollment, and there is a capacity issue as well, that would be a continuing discussion. But what this bill does is begin the relationship with the family that's moving into Montana, and will give more information to that family on their choice. So there is still a choice factor, as the sponsor had shared with, and that move is in accordance to what the students' needs are. So the relationship that this bill provides is to show that the parent can share, the school district can share, and that with local control and with all the agreements that we have in current statute to allow the school district to make that choice, this is a relationship-building tool at this point. Is it a mandate? It does say that. That is a mandate within here that the school district shall. But it begins the relationship going forward. Okay? Thank you. Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, Representative Bertolio, would you like to close in your bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate all the information thus far and the great, great conversation about this. As a Montana native, a former school board trustee, and a veteran who has moved many times in service of our great country, I am proud to carry this bill and feel this will greatly reduce an already stressful situation and will help the children of military families hit the ground running day one in their new school. I wholeheartedly and respectfully ask for a due pass on House Bill 68. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. This will close the hearing on House Bill 68. Representative Vinton, do you have a preference on the order of your bills, or can we just go in the order listed? All right, we'll start with House Bill 32 then. That we will open the hearing on House Bill 32. Representative Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sue Vinton. I represent House District 56 in southeastern Yellowstone County. I also had the great privilege and honor to serve on the Education Interim Committee, and the two bills that I bring before you today came out of that interim committee. The first one for your consideration is House Bill 32. I do have a handout, Mr. Chairman, with your permission.
Yep, please pass it out. If you'd like to pass out half on each side to expedite it, that would be appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 32 repeals the ending fund balance limits for school district funds. This repeal is of 20-9-323, which are being passed out to you now for your reference. A relic of Senate Bill 329 in 2011, this came during the Bakken boom when some lucky school districts had lots of oil and gas money coming in. The statute of that I'm handing out to you seems to say that those districts can't sock away too much money, but the exceptions make the proposed limits meaningless. Other laws since 2011 have been enacted which provide schools with flexibility to reallocate those funds. This section of law has never had an effective date. It's set to go in effect during the current fiscal year. So simply, this is code clutter, and this is my attempt to streamline our laws, and I would urge a due pass. You'll note there's a balanced fiscal note. There's no cost to this, and I will step aside for proponents, opponents, and informational witnesses.
Thank you, Representative. Are there proponents?
Mr. Chair, I have Jewel Walker with her hand raised.
All
and
right.
Two others.
I've got the hands. We'll do in person first. So Representative Superintendent Arnson, and then I'll go to the Zoom.
Thank you again for honoring me, Representative Burgley, and members of the committee, State Superintendent Elsie Arnson. I was in your seats when this bill came onto our law books and have watched in my capacity for 4 years that this has been inactive. There are other mechanisms that have been put in play over on top of this that do allow school districts to organize their budgets to the best of their abilities to serve our children. And I want to thank the representative for her effort and energy. I do have our budget analyst, Paul Taylor, that is in the room, or also our CFO, Mr. Bailey, that would be more than happy to answer any questions for information as needed. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Walker.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak before the House Education Committee again this afternoon. Chair Burgley and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jewel Walker. I am the Field Services Specialist for the Montana School Boards Association. Thank you, Representative Vinton and the Education Interim Committee for your work on this legislation. The Montana School Boards Association supports House Bill 32, which eliminates the ending fund balance limits. We respectfully urge your support for House Bill 32. Thank you.
Mr. Miller.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, Kirk Miller here representing School Administrators of Montana. Thank you, Representative Vinton, for carrying this bill on behalf of the Interim Education Committee. And I will add not much to the testimony there other than, once again, School Administrators of Montana supports the work of the Interim Education Committee to revise language in law that clarifies the interpretation for implementing House Bill 32 does revise language in law by repealing the ending fund balance limits for school district funds. The research to do the repeal was done extensively by the Interim Education Committee, and SAMS supports repealing the ending fund balance limits for school districts. Again, thank you, and SAM requests your support of House Bill 32.
Thank you. Mr. Parman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Dennis Parman, last name P-A-R-M-A-N. I'm the executive director of the Montana Rural Education Association. In deference to your time this afternoon, we just want to add our support to House Bill 32. Thank the interim committee and staff for their work and the sponsor for bringing this bill forward. We ask for your support for House Bill 32, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Seeing none, other opponents? Seeing none, informational witnesses. Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Taylor. I, T-A-Y-L-O-R, work for OPI and would be happy to answer any questions about the functioning or the fiscal analysis related to this change in section, this section change of law. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further informational questions from the committee? Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for the sponsor, please.
Representative Vinton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I may be just completely just so new to this that I don't understand everything, and so please help me maybe understand. It seems to be that if we were to take this this funding or this cap away, the ending fund balance limits, that we would in effect be creating a public school endowment. Is that just not a thing, or I guess help me understand that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kearns, thanks for that question. As I mentioned in my opening, there are other ways that school districts can reallocate funds, and I'll defer to Mr. Taylor from OPI, who may be able to shed some more light on that. Thank you.
Would you like a follow-up?
Please, Mr. Chair, can we hear from Mr. Taylor?
Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kearns, thank you for the redirect. Essentially, what is permitted by law currently is that a district that receives oil and gas revenue receipts may retain at the district level 130% of its general fund budget max as calculated. And so districts that there's over 100 districts across the state that do receive oil and natural gas receipts, they can retain those in various budgeted funds. There's certain circumstances where those amounts could be capped out, and when it caps out, the remainder gets remitted back to the state guarantee account, I believe. When the Bakken boom was occurring, the amounts that were permitted to be retained by schools were relatively high. Now that the oil boom is over, very few schools would be subject to this section of law. And in fact, we ran a calculation to see who would have to comply with the section of law as stated. And it turns out that there would be two school systems associated with this. However, since the law went into place, and nobody's actually had to comply with it up to this point because it had a delayed effective date so that it would begin for fiscal year 2021, which is the year we're currently in, And we wouldn't be able to know this information about these schools until the end of this fiscal year, the end of June. What has occurred since the law went into place is there's subsequent laws that sort of counter its effectiveness, if that's a way of saying it. We have developed a thing called multi-district agreements through a different section of law, which allows districts to divert excess funds into another fund and consequently would not necessarily ever have to comply with this section of law. Additionally, if a district was in this circumstance, they can go to the Board of Public Ed and petition the Board of Public Ed to not make the district remit the funds. And what happens is when the remittance happens, the remittance makes it so that the surrounding districts within the county would take up the excess. And if there were no available districts surrounding to take up the excess funds, then the excess funds would come back to the state. I hope that answers your question. Feel free to ask a follow-up. I may have rambled too long. Mr. Chair.
Representative Kearns, follow-up.
A follow-up question. So what I mean, and maybe I heard you wrong, and so please help me. What I'm hearing is that right now there are school districts that are circumventing this and trying not to get to this cap, and yet we're trying to remove that. So we're removing that barrier to them. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Rep. Kearns, the bulk of districts never reach this cap, especially now that the oil boom has kind of come to an end. So very, very few schools would ever reach the 300% of max. And like I said, there's only two school systems that actually could be affected by this if they had to deal with this situation. It turns out that because it's 130% of their maximum budget, they're incredibly small schools, so they have a low maximum budget calculation, and therefore they get to the 300% a lot faster than some other districts would. And then additionally, current law provides that they have other mechanisms to transfer funds away so that they can get themselves under the 300% of max. And therefore, the intent of the law, as it was determined back with, I guess it was 2013 or 2011, really doesn't have any impact anymore.
Follow up.
Follow up question. So you mentioned two schools that are exceeding over 300% maximum general fund budget. So that would, I would just ask, are those schools still levying for school fund budget to the taxpayers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kearns, school district's general fund, think about this for a second. You know, I have to look on their budgets directly to determine whether they are levying, but in most cases, districts are required to levy to their general fund. These districts may have enough oil and gas revenue receipts, and they may be depositing into their general fund that they may be avoiding that. But chances are, yes, they are more than likely still levying. But definitively, I don't have a good answer at this point.
Representative Imler.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, I represent, or Mr. Chair, Mr. Taylor, I represent House District 35, which I imagine is the district you're talking about with the Bakken, Sydney, Lambert, Fairview, Savage. Would this bill negatively affect my area, or would it still be the same as it is now?
Mr. Chair, Representative, it's my opinion that there shouldn't be any substantive change to the effects of the amount of oil and gas that can be retained, that nobody's attempting to change the mechanism for the 130% of max that school districts can continue to retain. And honestly, even if we allowed this section of law to remain, districts that are affected by this, like I said, could enter into a multi-district agreement and still not have to remit funds, and therefore they would remain, I don't want to say whole, but they would be able to retain these funds.
Thank you. Mr. Chair. Yep, thank you. That answers my question.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative, would you like closing your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, and thank you to the Office of Public Instruction and Superintendent Arnson for their assistance, and also to the Education Interim Committee for their work in vetting this bill before it came before you today. I would only reiterate that there are other laws available to schools to provide flexibility in the reallocation of funds that may remain at the end of their budget year. So I would urge a due pass on this bill, and thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you. This will close the hearing on House Bill 32. Without further delay, we will open the hearing on House Bill 33. Representative Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Sue Vinton, representing House District 56 in southeastern Yellowstone County. Also a member of the Education Interim Committee. This is another bill that's coming to you today that was vetted through this Education Interim Committee. And House Bill 33 is to clarify school funding related to anticipated enrollment increases. This bill addresses fluctuations in school district student numbers and puts into statute what OPI is currently doing. School districts that anticipate increased enrollment in the next school year can apply to OPI in June to have their budget limit A and B increased. This triggers a larger budget and increases state and local funding. If this A and B increase does not materialize the following October, this bill would ensure that the school district is not penalized. Here's an example. A school district with 10 students anticipates an increase the following year to 15. If October comes and enrollment is in fact only 5 students, the A and B goes back to 10. They don't go back to 5. They only go back to the number that they had prior to their anticipated number. Again, this bill has a zero fiscal note. There is no cost. And we believe, we being the Education Interim Committee, believes that this streamlines and makes more efficient our laws. So I will stand aside for opponents, proponents, and informational witnesses. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will go to in-room proponents.
Thank you, Chair Burgley, and members of the committee. For the record, Superintendent Elsie Arnson. Want to thank the sponsor and the diligent work of the interim committee to understand our processes, to make sure that the processes at the OPI also mirror what our laws are. And I do know that we have Mr. Taylor and possibly our CFO, Mr. Bailey, also here for any other questions that you might have. With that, Mr. Chair, I hope for a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Ms. Walker.
Chair Burgley and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jewel Walker, and I am the Field Services Specialist for the Montana School Boards Association. Thank you to Representative Vinton for carrying House Bill 33 and for the work of the Interim Education Committee. The Montana School Boards Association stands in support of House Bill 33, which will allow for increasing a district's base aid and special education allowable cost payment for an ensuing year due to an unusual increase in enrollment. We respectfully request your support for House Bill 33. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Miller.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. Thank you, House Majority Leader Representative Vinton, for carrying this bill on behalf of the Interim Education Committee. Kirk Miller, representing School Administrators of Montana. SAM supports this work of the Interim Education Committee and the revision of language in the same manner that I have described before, that clarity of language helps our school districts on the implementation of all things around the law, specifically the revision of base aid and special education allowable costs in this language. Clarifies the funding formula components that may increase with the anticipated increase in enrollment. That's very beneficial. SAM requests your support of House Bill 33.
Thank you, Mr. Parman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, Dennis Parman, Executive Director with the Montana Rural Education Association. I suspect, Mr. Chair, you have some executive action yet to take, so I will just conclude by asking for the committee's support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Seeing none, informational? Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, and I'd be happy to answer any kind of questions associated with the modification of this section of law. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Further informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee. Representative Rexton.
Mr. Chairman,
could you pull the mic up close to your face so we can hear you?
Okay, sorry. Mr. Chairman, and I would like to address a question to Paul Taylor.
Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, could you explain to the committee, you know, if a school district overestimates the number of students and then they don't get that number of students, I understand from Representative Vinton it goes back to what they originally had the prior year, but is there adjustments in the budget, and how does that happen in the school year?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rexton, yeah, thanks for the question. I'll try to do this as briefly as possible. It's actually a pretty convoluted calculation. So in its simplest terms, it works like this. A district, after spring count, collects its enrollment, and it calculates the A and B for the budget for the ensuing year. And the spring goes on and they realize that, well, they're going to have an increase in enrollment. Maybe a new housing development's going in, something like that. So what they can do is they can petition the OPI through a process and say, well, we're going to have increased enrollment. And if they let us know that before June 1st, we recalculate their A and B for that ensuing year, the full budget amount, the budget limits, and the state funding, and then, of course, with that would be the property tax adjustments as well. So now we go into the next fiscal period, and it's the fiscal period at which that A and B has been anticipated to be hired. Well, when October comes, and we do the first Monday of October, we do the fall enrollment count for that period that we're currently in, we check to see if the amount of enrollment that they anticipated to have increase actually materialized. If the amount of enrollment did not materialize to the level that they wanted it to, you know, claim to or asked for, the state will then recalculate the budget limits, determine the available adopted budget that they could have adopted, require the district to retain certain amount of funding so that they can pay back the property taxes in that upcoming year. And we also readjust the funding. So pretty much everything gets readjusted when they don't materialize. So in the example that Rep. Vinton laid out, she says, well, they had 10 enrolled, and then they said, well, we really want 15. Well, in a circumstance with, say, 12 students actually materialized, we'd set them back to that point and make all those adjustments that I described. This is only for circumstances where when the original enrollment amount was, for the example, 10, if it comes in October at a number lower than what they originally started with, we don't force them to dip below the point at which they originally began. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do you need a follow-up?
No, Mr. Chairman. I just felt like the committee probably needed to understand how that all worked.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, Representative Vinton, you'd like to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Also, thank you to the Education Interim Committee for their valuable work and to the Office of Public Instruction for their support. I urge a due pass on House Bill 33. Thank you.
Thank you. This will close the hearing on House Bill 33. Members of the committee, I think we're going to stand at recess for about 5 minutes and possibly go over a bill or two for executive action. We'll call House Education to order. So we're going to do executive action on the three bills we heard today, unless there's an objection. Representative Lehr.
Mr. Chair, I would object to House Bill 32 until I hear back from a few representatives or a few people that I'm talking to in my county, superintendents.
Sure.
I just want to make for sure that that's not going to affect mine because our lobbyist was not here, Mr. Farr. So if that is possible, I would really appreciate that.
No worries. We'll remove that one from the list. All right. So we'll be doing executive action on House Bill 68 and House Bill 33. Can I get a motion?
I move approval of House Bill 68, Mr. Chairman.
We have a do-pass motion for 68. Is there discussion? So I think what we'll do is we'll go over in executive action. I know we just heard the bills. Sometimes we won't do executive action right away. So a lot of times we'll have either the bill sponsor or Laura go over kind of what they do. This one should be pretty straightforward. We just heard it, and the sponsor's here. So this was the bill dealing with the military relocation aspects. So discussion on the bill. Representative McKamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that you know how important this bill is, but it really does affect lives, and it affects them positively, or if it doesn't happen, it can affect them negatively. And I have witnessed this personally because I have a son who is career Air Force. And not all stations are equal in their in the way that they treat transfer students of military. And anything that we can do to help them, and especially help them feel as normal as possible. They never feel quite like they're real. I don't know how else to describe it, but that is how they describe it. That they have a hard time feeling like they're real students in that group. And they work so hard to try to be accepted. This takes a barrier away. And any barriers that can be removed that are really and truly should be a superficial barrier should be removed. And so I really value this. I have seen, you know, good and bad moves, and this really helps make it a good move.
Further discussion? Seeing none, I think we'll try a voice vote. So all in favor of House Bill 68, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Proxies?
Representative Tyson votes aye.
Running Wolf. Sorry.
Work through the kinks. House Bill 68 has passed. Okay. Next, we'll open the executive action on House Bill 33. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move approval due pass on House Bill 33.
We have a motion due pass House Bill 33. Is there discussion? This is the bill that would change the forward-looking base aid changes for how the district would be anticipating unusual increases. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's on the same page. I think we'll try a voice vote on this as well. All those in favor of a do pass on House Bill 33, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Proxies?
Representative Running Wolf votes aye. Oh, no, it's on. Representative Running Wolf votes aye.
Motion carries. House Bill 33 is passed. With that, that should be the only executive action we have today. So we will be taking Friday off. So we have the weekend. You guys have a chance to go home or what have you, unless you're on commissions that meet after the floor session. Other than that, I hope everyone has a good weekend. House Education is adjourned.
It had to have been something similar to